One.
Welcome to the Bucky Beeman Audio Adventure, episode number 9. I'm here with my Snapchat friend, fellow real estate agent. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Who am I here with this morning?
Good morning, everyone. This is Eddie Gonzalez from Phoenix, Arizona. I work at SVN Desert Commercial, and I am a commercial real estate advisor.
I'm so excited to have Eddie on because I met Eddie. Gosh, we'll go back to the origin story, but several years ago, I feel like now via the internet, and we've been following each other's stories through Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, and we have a lot of things in common. And it's not often I'm able to find people in the commercial real estate industry that are using social in the ways that I enjoy using them. And Eddie is definitely one of those guys that understands the landscape related to how to tell stories online. So Eddie, go ahead and introduce yourself as far as your origin story. Where did it all begin? Why are you in Phoenix, Arizona?
Absolutely. So I am a third generation Phoenician, born and raised here, obviously, and I absolutely love the city of Phoenix and can't say enough about the state of Arizona. One of the main reasons that I absolutely love it is you've got the valley. I'm a warm weather guy. You can go 2 hours north of here and be in Flagstaff, and you can be in the snow. You can go 5 hours drive or a 45-minute flight to the west and be in San Diego and be at the beach. So I truly feel like we've got the best of everything right here in Arizona.
That's great. And as far as your career, where did it all start off?
Oh, Bucky, I love asking people that question. And I feel like most commercial real estate people say, I accidentally fell into it like this. I actually had a very structured plan with my life, and it got turned upside down for the best. I am a Ritz-Carlton guy. I actually met my senior partner here at SVN through the Ritz-Carlton because we worked together there. My plan for my career was to spend 25 years with the Ritz-Carlton, retire from the Ritz-Carlton, and go into real estate. After 14 years of working at the Ritz-Carlton in Phoenix, the owner of the building decided that they no longer wanted the building to be a Ritz-Carlton due to the financial cost that it would cost them to continue to be the Ritz. So rather than continuing on with the Ritz, which meant I would have to relocate, I reached out to a dear friend of mine, Rami Majahed, who was the gentleman who I started my career with the Ritz, and said, listen, the Ritz is closing. I've always wanted my second career to be in real estate. And he's like, say no more, let's go grab lunch. 2 days later, we went for lunch. The way he started and the way I've seen many other people start is start in the residential world and then work your way into the commercial world. And that was kind of my mindset, and that's what I was planning on doing. After the lunch with Rami, he completely convinced me that going straight into commercial was the right route. My mindset was you kind of have to do residential to then learn that market and understand the commercial world, which is completely not true. They're two completely separate things. So he said, why waste your time over here in residential when you know you want to go to commercial? You're wasting time over here. So he said, go get your real estate license. We'll sit down, figure it out, and I'm gonna bring you onto my team. So I owe it to Rami Majahed.
When did that start? When did you actually get into the commercial real estate industry?
My very first day at SVN, which is my commercial real estate career, was April the 4th. So I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary.
That's sweet. it's funny because I had breakfast with a young man this morning. He wanted to go out and talk about what we were going to talk about. And this morning he said he wants to get into real estate. And actually my suggestion to him was, one, find a mentor, which I think is huge. But two, I had made the suggestion of considering starting in residential for the fact that, and I wonder if it's the difference in the size of the markets. I feel as though with our size of our market, there's only so many commercial deals because we're not a Phoenix, Arizona. And so that's how I started. And that was my suggestion to him. But what you're saying is you just don't feel that's necessary, right?
That's correct. And one other thing that I like to kind of pitch in, being in a bigger city, don't quote me on these exact numbers, but I understand that Phoenix has right around 50,000 residential agents. And then when it comes to the commercial brokerage, I heard last count was right around 800 brokers for commercial. So just doing those numbers and how many buildings we actually have in Phoenix, there's more than enough to go around.
How important was it to have a mentor? Did he end up becoming your mentor, or have you had other people that have kind of taken you under their wing to help you get started?
So I'm on a team of four. Rami Majahed, his brother-in-law, Bo Flahart, and we've got an awesome, awesome, awesome marketing lady. Her name's Lindsay, and she just joined our team a few months ago. Between Rami and Bo and the other gentlemen that are in the SVN office, I've got mentors all the way around me, which is amazing. Our team is just the office team. There's about 20 of us in our office. I can bounce questions off anyone. I can have everybody look at my deals. What do you think's going on with this? What do you think's going on that? What direction would you go? That's something I really love about the culture of SVN, is we are not shy about sharing. I've heard some other firms are very much, you kind of do your deal and focus on your computer. That is not our office at all. So I am surrounded by mentors, and I can honestly say, without the team around me, I think I would have bailed. I understand about 90% of people that start in commercial real estate don't last a year. And I'm lasting, and this is a 20-year plan for me. But having those people that I can bounce questions off, it's night and day.
So I'm curious, as far as 2 years ago when you got into the business, I imagine it was a little bit like trying to learn how to swim and not having any idea of necessarily how to. How did you learn the business besides the mentor? Like, what have you learned in the last 2 years related to being a commercial real estate advisor with SVN?
My goodness, where to start, Bucky? My first couple days, here's where I'm a little bit privileged. When I came onto my team, there were already things in place for me to work on. So the goal for me was to really learn the leasing world first, go ahead and make those cold calls, find tenants for different developments that we were working on. So Rami at the time kind of handed me everything. He said, okay, this is what we're trying to do. These are the particular buildings that we're working on. I need you to go out and find tenants for these particular spaces. So that's how it started, and I feel really lucky to be in that position, because I know a lot of people come into this industry and they just, nothing. You don't have anything to work on. You just come in and you start making cold calls and you're trying to make something out of nothing. Luckily, I had that mentor. He already had the plan, and I've been following the plan. As far as the learning portion, my goodness. Being at the Ritz-Carlton, here's something that's very important that I learned about myself a little bit too far down the road, and I wish I would have explored it earlier. Being at the Ritz-Carlton and standing in front of people and speaking with people for that 14 years is very much a strength of mine. That being said, one of my weaknesses is being on the phone. Like you and I are conversing right here, I can read your body language. I can look at you in the eyes, and that makes a huge difference to me. So where I'm finding one of my strengths is yes, it's more time consuming, but rather than being on the phone with a tenant, I'll just drop in. I absolutely love being face to face with tenants. And if I can, I've dropped a lot of business cards, and I'm finding that the owners of the buildings are now reaching out to me because I'm speaking with their tenants. So it's coming full circle. And I really wish I would have done that a little bit earlier in my career versus spending a ton of time on the phone where I wasn't necessarily comfortable, but I'm very comfortable in front of people.
How has the internet played a role in the last 2 years of your life and being in the business?
I don't know how anyone was productive in this industry 15 or 20 years ago. I really don't. I remember Rami saying, man, it was a big deal when I was shooting out faxes from my house. I had a fax machine at my house and I could not stop laughing because of that. I'm doing a deal right now with another broker, senior broker, been doing this for, I think he said 35 years. And we were inside the building before the tenant had arrived. And he said, you know, I think this building's leasing for this. And I think this building might be leasing for this. And I'm not going to use his name, but I pulled out my phone and I go, do you have the CoStar app? Shameless plug there, right? Do you have the CoStar app? And he said, no. He said, Eddie, the only thing I use my phone for is to make phone calls. And I just kind of thought, oh man, you're missing out on a lot. So I showed him, I pulled up. Okay, so the neighboring, this is leasing for this per square foot. This is leasing for this per square foot. So now you know where I'm going to come in with my offer. I know what your landlord needs. And we had that discussion right then and there versus getting all the way to the LOI stage. And he had the information that he could go back to the landlord and say, hey, listen, right next door is leasing for this. Eddie's going to come in a little bit lower than what we're asking. And they ended up taking that offer.
And LOI, for those that don't know, stands for letter of intent.
Correct. We like to call it a handshake on paper. So the letter of intent is basically a person coming in saying, I like your building. I'm offering you this particular amount of money for this particular term. Is that something that you're interested in? And generally they will redline it, which is literally that. They run red lines through our offers and then the negotiation process will start. Once you go through the letter of intent, then a lease is drafted. That's where the lawyers start to get involved and you've got a 40-page document. And yeah, that's kind of the leasing world.
How about social media channels, Facebook, Snapchat, Facebook groups? Like, talk a little bit about what that has played a role in building your career as an agent.
Yeah, education-wise, I think that's where it all comes in. Obviously, you and I met on Snapchat almost 2 years ago now. I love the Snapchat world just based on content. I feel like, especially when you deal with someone like Chelsea, she has a ton of educational type things, but I don't feel like I get a ton of education from Snapchat. I feel like it's very entertaining. When it goes into Facebook, like the SnapPack group, I feel like that's where the education is. I absolutely learn a ton from that group. And I also feel like it's because there's more substance to those actual posts versus someone showing you what they're up to that particular day.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that. Now that I think it through, like, you're right, Snapchat does have a component of entertainment. It makes me think, like, you don't go to it thinking you're going to receive education. And I think even that mindset of how you use that channel allows you to not necessarily, if Chelsea's putting out things that is educational, you're just not in that mindset when you're in that platform. But you're right about the Facebook group. You go there with questions or you go there with looking for answers and trying to learn what other people are doing around the industry.
Absolutely. And I'm just kind of getting into the Instagram stories now, as we were talking about earlier. And I feel like that's going to be a little bit more along the lines of Snapchat. Although I like that you had the component of the pictures, and I don't know how much text you can actually put in with your pictures. I haven't been very long-winded with mine, but I like that combination. It's harder to navigate. It's not as quick and on the fly, but I do like that component.
For those that say, you know, I don't want to be on the social channels, that's just not me. What are they missing out on as far as not being out there and active and posting, whether it's about their life or just about their career? What do you feel they're missing out on?
One of the things in our world is we're trying to portray something to someone that is possibly going to use our service. If someone doesn't know you at all, the likelihood that you go in and give a listing presentation and them immediately say, I like you or I don't like you, I think, hi, Carrick. This is Carrick. He's our multifamily guy. Carrick, awesome. You are live on a podcast right now.
Nice, nice.
This What's is Bucky Beeman.
Hello.
Nice what are we discussing? We are discussing the commercial real estate world.
Very nice.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about multifamily in your world right now.
This is really a podcast.
This is a real deal.
Well, where do you live, Bucky?
I'm in Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, yes. Very nice. So here in Phoenix, multifamily is continuing to boom ever since our recession. We're having about 220 people move here every day, so almost 80 to 90,000 per year. And so we are still, even with all the development going on, we're still underbuilt, and development is still continuing to build apartment units for everyone moving here. We're definitely continuing to develop because of all the people moving here. And so there's still a shortage expected. And so even though there's been a lot of apartment units built, right now we have 16,000 units under construction. And there's no really end in sight right now because everything's still boom, boom, boom here. So it's a good market for multifamily.
One of the questions I just had asked Eddie is how is social media and just being active out there online playing a role in your career? And I want to ask you the same question. I mean, you're living in a big world related to multifamily and selling land and, you know, selling those assets. But are you seeing these online platforms play a role in your career?
I think LinkedIn is definitely helpful. We can put a listing out on LinkedIn and let people know we have something to offer. It's good networking. Sometimes we tag somebody on LinkedIn before we talk to them. So then when we talk to them, they've seen our profile already. So it's a nice introductory method. And Facebook a little bit too, but I think LinkedIn is probably the best just due to the professional nature of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm personally not using LinkedIn a lot, but it is where the professionals are. And have you successfully received any leads through LinkedIn, or has it just been putting out listings and people getting to know your name and your brand and your team?
Yeah, I think the latter. I can't say like I've earned $1 specifically tied to LinkedIn yet, but definitely good to get the word out and establish your presence.
What do you guys think about the current state of LoopNet?
Yes.
Gotta bring it up. You have to bring it up.
I mean, guys,
we're all living with it every single day.
You scared him away.
Do you want me to go chatting with us?
Thanks, Carrick. Do you want me to go back to the
I opened up the can of worms, so I think we need to chat about it because it is affecting our industry. For those that don't know what LoopNet is, LoopNet is by far the largest online listing channel for commercial real estate. And so if you're in any market that has any type of commercial real estate and there's an agent that understands or a team or a company that understands how to list properties, they for sure are probably listed on LoopNet. When I started in the business, there was hardly any listings on LoopNet in our market. And now you go there today and every agent has their listing on there. So the reason I asked the question as to what your feelings are of LoopNet is because there's been some obvious changes that we're all seeing around the country in how they're changing things online, and it's affecting our business. And I think we need to bring light to it. And I think why, you know, he leaves the room and why Eddie maybe doesn't want to have this conversation is because it's kind of catch 22. There's some, we'll explain some of the issues we're seeing probably, but also they're the biggest search engine. We get a lot of leads from them. So you don't want to upset them. You don't want to say anything that would make them pull down your profile, which I don't think would ever happen. Right. But it's, I don't know. It's a love hate relationship. So that's kind of the intro to LoopNet. Eddie, what's your thoughts of the current state of LoopNet?
Here is my thoughts. LoopNet just merged with CoStar. CoStar was my main tool that I was using, both to promote properties that we had for lease. Let me take a step back. CoStar was more of, we'll call it the MLS of the market. Brokers have access to it. It's kind of our MLS. LoopNet, I don't know what I could compare it to. Maybe Zillow. LoopNet would be like Zillow. That's for public use. That way the public can go out and find different commercial properties. The two of them merged, which is a bit of a...
Right?
I'm sorry?
They merged their data, right? So now they're both on the same platform where prior they were somewhat separate.
That is correct. When the merger happened and why you got the oohs and ahs is it pretty much swept our feet out of under us for about 6 weeks. Because when they did that merger, everything that we had posted, they told us everything was going to merge up fine, but it did not, not even close. So we've got 15 different properties that we're working on right now, and they were a jumbled mess. I don't know how the algorithm speaks with each other, but thank goodness for Lindsay being the professional that she is. She was able to spend a lot of hours getting it straightened out. But we went from the blessing of is the inbound calls that you get from LoopNet, and we were getting multiple a day to 6 weeks of just quiet, nothing going on. So yes, I do love LoopNet because you get those inbound calls. I do also love CoStar because they've got a ton of analytics that teaches me pretty much daily. I'm in there daily. So I learn a ton from both of those. And honestly, other than that huge hiccup that kind of knocked us out for a few weeks, I'm okay with it. I'm definitely okay with it. I love the fact that I can have my phone go up to any particular property and figure out who that owner is versus not that long ago, you would have to go through a huge research process to figure out what person owns each particular building. That being said, I also understand how some of the guys that have been in the industry a long time that spent years and years building their database sees a guy like me come in and I can look across the street and see that Mr. Yule owns the building right across the street. And it took me 10 seconds to figure it out, where it would have taken him minutes, if not hours, to figure out who owns the particular building. And so it's...
Yeah. I mean, on that topic, I think we're kind of crying over spilled milk. And the reason I say that is because consider the time when Netflix came in and completely disrupted Blockbuster. Like, was Blockbuster pissed? Did they feel it was unfair? Did they think that it shouldn't go that way? Yeah, probably. But look what happened. Change is inevitable. And I mean, it's just going to happen. And that's so, yeah. So to that argument, to the veteran that's been in it for years, and now you see these younger professionals doing it quicker because of the access to data and them growing up with the internet. And I'm sorry, but it's just going to happen, and the changes, and they have that same opportunity, but are they willing to learn it? Now, on the LoopNet conversation, what I think is interesting is, we, in our size of our market, we don't pay for CoStar. Our MLS, so back to when I got into the business, there was commercial listings out there available on any online platform. The residential MLS didn't get commercial agents coming to them because they didn't feel they provided much value. And so they didn't put their stuff online. LoopNet, I would say, is our MLS. We agents listings that choose to list it on there, and we don't, and I don't think any firm within our size of our market is paying for CoStar because the fees are so high. So I agree with you. The merger was a mess. We kept track of our man hours that were put into solving it. And we're a small firm. We're 11 people. I can only imagine SVN and the large firms and what that did for time they spent. And it's not like you're recouping those dollars. So that was a mess. But what I will say is unique is now with this change, the CoStar listings are available on the LoopNet channel. But because we don't pay for a CoStar membership, there's a lot of lock symbols on all of those. And I think for us, it's frustrating because they're kind of controlling the data that we give to them in a way that it's kind of feels unfair. And I just don't know that they're trying to really figure out how to provide the most value to the firms and the agents. And because I don't feel that they're necessarily looking out for how to provide us the best value, I don't know how that's going to play out long-term for their business model. I think it'll be interesting to see as there's more listing channels now out there than ever for the listing channel that really looks at the agent and the team and the company and says, how can we help you? How can we help not only fill your pipeline more, but make it so this data is readily available and not necessarily think the answer to that all the time is just pay a higher monthly fee. Just pay a higher monthly fee and then you get. And so that's, I guess, what I'm curious to see how this all plays out related to the way they're developing their business out.
I think their bottom line is their bottom line, and that's what they're. See, I was told in our office, other than rent, the second highest bill out of the year is our CoStar bill. I know how much we're paying in rent, and I don't know how much we're paying in CoStar, but I can assume it is not cheap.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. We can jump off that topic. I think we
let's.
Several things, but it's good. Thank you, Eddie, for at least having that conversation because it's affecting our industry and people are not talking about it. Let's go back to social media. Let's dive in. And here's something I'll put in front of you.
Yeah.
I think the first firms that start to recognize Facebook as the listing channel of choice will really recoup a lot of benefits by viewing Facebook as a listing channel. What I mean by that is we put our listings out there on LoopNet. We put them out there on CoStar. We don't have the ability to receive comments on our listings. Maybe we don't want that. We don't have the ability to run ads that are specific to a certain type of property to a specific demographic within LoopNet or any of these other listing channels. Facebook, you do. And I think that's where the opportunity lies, is people that start recognizing these social media platforms as the most powerful listing channels out there. He was just talking about LinkedIn. LinkedIn could be a heck of a powerful listing channel. You can direct ads towards people that are in positions of decision-making. And so that's where I think we could really see some shift here in the future of how are people viewing these social media channels as a listing platform. What do you think about that comment?
No, I love it. The fact of the matter is we need to get all of these properties out to as many people as possible. If you're playing the numbers game, and this is a numbers game, we need our properties to be out there. So how are we going to do it? How are we going to get the most attention to those properties? Going back to what we were saying before, you were asking about any deals that had been done. Carrick shared that he has not done any deals on LinkedIn. I have a lead from a gentleman that I went to, shameless plug, Dave Ramsey's course. He now owns a company, I don't know if you're familiar with V's Barbershops. It's a chain of barbershops out here. He has opened several and he's reached out to me on that. Snapchat, I've got 3 deals done so far. Instagram, do you want the full story?
Yeah, let's hear it, because people don't talk about this either, and it's happening. It's amazing.
It is happening, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So I reached out, and I'm just doing, I know you're a huge Gary Vee fan, so I'm doing the Gary Vee thing, and I'm doing some direct messaging. And I reach out to a guy, and I'm not going to say any names right now, but he is advertising using his name as a restaurant broker in Phoenix. Reach out to him. I'm looking for a particular shared space for a client. Doesn't have anything, but he asked the wonderful question that everyone should ask. What else are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for a hotel. I've got a gentleman that I'm selling his building for right now. And he wants to 1031 exchange into a hotel. He says, oh my gosh, I know a guy that owns a hotel who's actually trying to sell this hotel. So we are now in the midst of getting the numbers together, and I am going to deliver the hotel deal to my buyer. And I don't know if it's going to come full circle, but those are the little things. How many man hours do you put in? I know how many man hours I've put in so far to try to locate the right hotel for a great deal. And there aren't a lot of great deals in Phoenix right now. If we can pull this off, it's going to be a great deal for my buyer.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly I think things are moving now, because that process that you just explained of, oh my gosh, I have something. Just think of how long it took to put those pieces together in the past. And now with the internet and now with the speed of communication, there is so much getting done in a short amount of time. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
What would you explain as, and maybe you don't have much of a relationship with this side of the industry, but I do in the size of the market that I am, the relationship of the commercial agent with the residential agent. Are you communicating with residential agents? And I just want to explore that a little more, because I feel so often we hear, well, commercial is completely different than residential. And for that, there's probably not much communication between those two types of the industry. What's your thoughts of that?
I think it's very important for the relationship to be had. There's a gentleman, and I'll name drop, his name's Matt Manoogian. He is a residential guy out here, just kicking butt and taking names, and I absolutely love him. He and I went back and forth, and if there's any residential deals to be done, a lot of people will call us and get confused, and they don't necessarily understand that, hey, Eddie, I want to buy a house. Can you help me? Well, no, I can't, because I only do commercial, but I've got Matt in my back pocket, and I send everybody to Matt. Same thing. Whenever somebody comes to him and they need a lease deal done or they want to sell a building, hey, I know Eddie and Rami and Bo. These guys are your guys. So he'll direct them over to us. And it goes both ways. And the important part of that is knowing that particular person, because your reputation is on the line. So I know he trusts me. I trust him. And there's no reason why we wouldn't refer business back and forth. So that is very important to have the relationship. Very important.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that's for anybody that's in the residential industry, I would suggest go and meet a commercial real estate agent, go and learn about their business and vice versa, because I think it can lead to opportunities for both. And then ultimately it leads to better service for the client that you're working with. If you're working with somebody looking to buy a house and they happen to have interest in starting a restaurant, and you can guide them to the right advisor, I think that will lead the way. What do you think about the change in what I feel you're seeing, I'm seeing of general have to be advisors? I feel that's even more important than ever before, because no longer does the real estate agent have the keys to all the properties, because the internet has brought transparency to what's available.
Right.
So what do you think is going to happen related to this shift we're seeing of real estate agents having to be advisors?
It's funny you mention that, because coming into this, I've always had the mindset that I am an advisor. In fact, that's what my business card says, is real estate advisor. I took a sales course not too long ago that was really good. And out of the whole course, which was 13 weeks long, there's one thing that I took away that is so ridiculously simple, but it changed everything in my world. And it was two words, help people. That's it. I help people, right? So I'm an advisor. I have knowledge of the Central Phoenix area. If anyone comes to me with particular questions, I'm going to give them as much advice as I can about that particular area. Is this particular business going to work well in this particular building? I'll be very honest. I'm here to help. No, because of this, or yes, because of this. So the role as an advisor, a trusted advisor, once you kind of get into that mindset, obviously not every deal is going to happen. But when people trust you and you're giving them the right advice, they're not only going to come back and use you when it's time to make a real estate decision, they're going to share your name and your information with all their friends. So it's all about being an advisor. I think that's what everyone should have their mind wrapped around, is that's what we do. We don't necessarily sell real estate. We're selling our service. And part of that is being an advisor.
Yeah, very true. Eddie, we're getting into the end of the show. Unfortunately, we both have to go and sell real estate today. We have to advise. It's snowing here. We got to go shovel snow in Rochester, Minnesota, unfortunately. One thing I like to do as part of my show is ask, who is some movers and shakers that someone should look up, including myself, as far as I'm interested in who you're watching. I'll, after this podcast, go out and Google their name. Who are some movers and shakers you want to do a shout out? They don't have to be Arizona only. They don't have to be commercial real estate only. Who would you bring some light to as far as a mover and shaker?
I want to give you two companies and one name. Carrick, who was in here, his business partner's name is Vicente Cantua. Vicente Cantua. He is putting out some awesome content. Awesome content. So I would definitely look him up. Bryant Real Estate. Absolutely love her stuff. She does Facebook Live. Her name's Adrienne Bryant. And the Orion Company out of Scottsdale, Arizona. If you can get on their email list, it's going to be very much Arizona specific, but they do top fives. So every single day, the top five real estate transactions or news, they've got a great, great, great way to start the day. Absolutely love Ari over there. He's the designated broker. So those would be my three. Vicente Cantua, he's an SVN guy, multifamily apartments. Adrian Bryant, she has her own firm. And Orion.
Those are my three. One thing that's unique about all three is I feel they're acting like a media company along with doing whatever else they're doing. And
you're nailing it. And that's what it's all about, right?
That is what it's all about. That's what builds business. Great. Thank you so much, Eddie. If people want to look you up, if they have questions for you, if they're interested in commercial real estate, can they reach out to you? And if so, where should they follow you and find your content?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give you my new Instagram account, which is AZ, like Arizona, AZ Commercial Real Estate. I'll give you my email, which is eddie.gonzalez, GONZALEZ, at svn.com. And should I do my cell phone number too? Let's do my cell phone number.
Why not? That's so 1998, man.
Is it? Nope, we're not doing it then.
Who needs a cell phone? He does his Google Hangout with him.
Give true story. True story. No more cell phones, Bucky. Cell phones are out.
Cell phone numbers. Cell phones are in. Cell phone numbers are out.
I'm glad you clarified that for me. Yeah. It's good hanging out with you, man.
Yeah, vice versa, Eddie. Thank you so much for joining the show. And thank you, everybody, that listened to the Bucky Beeman audio adventure. And I look forward to the next episode, the next guest, where we'll continue along this adventure and see who we can find that's doing amazing things out there in this world. Chat soon.